Why did you choose this workshop, other than you didn't want to go to any of the other ones? Anybody? What? Looks interesting. Okay.
That's something in my life that I'm trying to develop. All my quiet times, everything centered around developing my character.
Okay. Good. Hope you get some help.
Just because it was consistent with the goals that I had out of the week. I set down a couple of goals. It's right on line.
Right on line. Good. Well, let me ask you this. When you think of character or character development, what do you think of? What is character development? Improving on character issues? Okay. Develop others, okay. Personality. Character, what is character? Now, you probably know a few characters in your life, but...
Well, can character be like a characteristic, what makes up people?
Okay, characteristics that make up people? Such as?
Patience.
Okay, what are some others?
Different
fruits of the Spirit, like... Did y'all hear that? You all have that memorized, I guess. Yeah, patience, humility, love. What are some others other than, as we think of the fruits of the Spirit, when you think of a person, what do you think of them as?
Honesty.
Honesty. Okay.
Character is what is the thing in a person that controls what he does.
Okay, the what that controls what he does? Okay, that's it. Right? That's what we're looking
for. Quality that controls what you do.
Okay.
That's what distinguishes you from another.
Okay.
Distinguishing traits.
Right. What distinguishes a person from another person? Okay. Good. Hi, Max. How you doing? Oops. Can't go. Can I? Somebody close that door there, please. Just keep away distractions from you. Okay, let's pray and let's see what God has laid on my heart, how that fits into what you're looking for. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you that you've expressed your love to us in sending Jesus Christ to die for us. Thank you for the life. Thank you for purpose you give us in life. And Father, I pray that as we would share in this next 45 minutes, that you would give us each hearts that are open, attentive to your Spirit, and that your Spirit would be our teacher to instruct us and teach us about yourself and the lives that you want us to live. We pray for insight, for understanding. And Lord, that you would be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 45 minutes isn't a whole lot of time. In fact, we're down to 39 right now. So let me just give you a couple of thoughts here on character. And you brought out some of these, some of your comments. But the combination of qualities or traits that distinguishes an individual or a group. That's what you think of as the character of that person. Or a distinguishing attribute or characteristic. These come out of Webster. So if you don't get all of them, you can go back there and see what he has to say. Another says a character is the moral force that which drives a person, or integrity. And I've summed it up as the qualities of life that a person is known by. The qualities of life that a person is known by. Such as someone said, honesty, humility. Maybe pride. Is pride a character of life? Yeah. What quality are you known by? A loving person. Now, we're going to look at just a minute at the word attribute, because I'm going to be talking about the attributes of God. An attribute is a quality or characteristic of a person or thing. A quality or characteristic. Or it's what we conceive the object to be in some respect. Quality, what it really is. And we speak of the attributes of God and the quality of men. The attributes of God, what we conceive God to be, or what in some ways we know God can be. And that's one of the things I want to really, for us to get into a little bit. Then the qualities of men, what a person is really like, what he really is. The qualities. Now we will refer, as we go along here, to the characteristics and developing these qualities or character in our lives. About a year ago, my wife and I were interviewed to see if we qualified for an overseas assignment that we had been asked to pray about. And we had about a 7-hour interview with Jim White. Some of you probably have heard Jim White or know of him. He's living down in Norman. And there were certain qualities of life or certain characteristics that the missions department wanted in a person in this particular assignment, such as they wanted them to have a vital personal dependency on God. Or, I call that faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, you probably know some people just by their faith, that they really believe God. And some people are known by that quality. Another one was love and compassion for people. That was a quality that was desired for a person who would take this particular assignment. Another was humility. Humility is a Christ-like characteristic. Hebrews 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And so forth. There, Jesus displayed and is known as a humble person. Another one, quality was adaptability and flexibility. And some of us are known for our flexibility. And some of us are known for our inflexibility. When plans change, we get all upset. Others, when plans change, we just kind of roll with a punch. That's called flexibility or adaptability. In going to a foreign culture, that is very, very much needed. Adaptability. Can you adapt to other people? Now, think, well, how do you see that as a character of life when we think of character development? It's a very vital part, character of life that is needed if we're going to be effective for the Lord. Another one was courage and perseverance. I thought of Joshua. In Joshua 1, God told Joshua, he said, be strong and very courageous. One particular verse there that was very meaningful to me many years ago and has continued to be down through the years. Joshua 1:5. God told Joshua after God had taken Israel through these, from Egypt and up these many years in the wilderness, Moses had died. And it says, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, then Joshua was appointed the task to take Israel, this rebellious people. And several times in here, God tells him to be of good courage. Then he says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And that's a quality we need if we're going to be effective laborers for God. So as we went over those, by the way, we did qualify for the job, but God had other plans. But as I thought about that at that time, I thought, my wife and I were here at Glen Eyrie back in the early 60s. Then we just came back about a year and a half ago. And I thought, now, if they had asked us to take that assignment back there in the early 60s, I wouldn't have qualified. I wouldn't have met some of these requirements. I wouldn't have had some of this character that was required for this particular assignment. And you say, well, why not? Why now and not then? Well, the reason that there, a lot of water went under the bridge over those 22 years. There were a lot of hard times that God took us through. And that's one way that God develops character in our lives, is through the hard times. Look at Romans 5. I may refer to a few of those hard times to illustrate that to you, but let's look at Romans 5 first. And the first five verses, Paul is writing, he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. That grace, as he points out there, is a very important thing. But notice he says, into this grace in which we now stand. Then he goes on, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of knowing we will spend eternity in His presence. We will see God in all of His glory. We will see Jesus in all of His glory. And he says, we rejoice in that. And then he says, not only, this is interesting, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, when was the last time you suffered? You had to get up this morning? Or anybody have to sleep on the floor last night? My wife is suffering right now. She has a broken arm. And a lot of pain. It was crushed right in the wrist. It had about 12 fractures there. And that was about to be 8 weeks ago. And now she has a cast off and she's learning to use it again. And she can only bend it about like that or like that because of the atrophy that set in. And a lot of pain and suffering. And at times we've said, well, I wonder, what does God want you and what does God want me to learn through this? Because I end up with a lot of chores, including curling her hair. I'm getting pretty good at it. By the way, guys, that's something you have to look forward to, that if you get married and your wife gets laid up, you might have to end up doing that. But he says here, we rejoice in our sufferings. Now, why can you rejoice in your sufferings? What is there that makes that possible? Did you rejoice the last time you had to suffer? You don't need to answer that. Well, he says here, because. We rejoice because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, that was one of the qualities that was needed for this particular assignment. Perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. Well, says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We also rejoice in sufferings. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Do you really rejoice in your sufferings? Why could Paul say that? This has some feedback. Why do you think Paul could say, we rejoice in sufferings? You know God is testing you? All right. Go ahead. Did Paul, you think Paul knew that? Did Paul know that?
Probably, I would say.
Do you think he knew that? Do you think he knew that? He said it right here, didn't he? He says, because we know. We know. Look at that. We know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Now, see, if we really believe that, if we really believe that, then when we're going through some suffering, we can rejoice. Okay. Where do you think Paul learned that? This is the workshop. Now, you've got to be part of the work. I'm not going to do all of it. Where did Paul learn that? Back here.
Through experience.
Through experience, okay.
I think as he watched his own life develop through his sufferings that he mentioned in the first chapter.
Okay. Right. He saw what came out of sufferings. Very much so. Think of that time he was beaten and left for dead, stoned and left for dead. Turn a minute to... there's different passages, but let's take 2 Timothy 3:10. Writing to Timothy, he says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience. See, he knew what kind of character, the character of Paul's life, didn't he? My love, my endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet, the Lord rescued me from all of them. And you know, when we see God work through our lives and are able to give thanks to Him for the hard times, then we can see and get to know God in a much deeper way. And that gives us this character of life, as we see Paul had, through the hard times that we go through. So when you're going through a hard time, just stop and think, God, what do you have for me to learn through this? What part of my life do you want to develop that I will be more like Christ? See, it's character development. I teach a course in the LDI, the Leadership Development Institute here at Glen Eyrie, and the topic of the course is character development, believe it or not. And in my premise as I approach that particular course is that a person's quality or quality of life or his character is molded by his concept of God. his concept of God. In other words, what do I believe about God? What I believe about God will affect how I respond to various circumstances in my life. Does that make sense? What I believe about God will determine how I respond to the various circumstances in my life. What God is like. Do I perceive Him or believe Him? Do I have convictions that God is holy? That God is a God of love? That God is wisdom? He really does know what's best. He's almighty? That He's sovereign? Do you really believe that? Does it show up in your life, how you live, that you believe that God is holy? He's sovereign. He's just. Now really, the more I've taught this, the more I've been into it, the more I believe that my concept of God determines how I live. Now, what I'd like for you to do is take a few minutes and think, what belief about God will enable me to rejoice in sufferings? Now, what belief about God, what concept of God, or what attribute of God would enable you to rejoice in sufferings? And just jot it down there, one or two things that you think of. Okay, what do you have? What belief about God or what concept of God will help you to rejoice in sufferings? Max?
One would be wisdom, in that God knows what's best for me and is committed to trying to change my character.
Okay. God knows what's best. Who said that? Okay, God's goodness in what way?
He's good. He's going to be good to me, whether I understand it or not.
Okay. Whether I understand or not. Okay, someone else here. Okay.
To me, he also understands something himself.
Say again. Okay, he understands suffering himself. Okay. Yes. Good. Yeah, he loves me. He wants the best for me. Yes. Okay. He's all knowledge, omniscience. He knows the master plan.
Under love, I have to put, because I can feel at that moment God's going to that suffering and He was trying to turn me into what He wanted me to be as far as His will and His soul in my heart.
Okay. Okay, good. Good thought.
And in fact, behind all this has got to be the conviction of God's sovereignty. Because if He can't do anything about it, then He can't do it.
Yes. God is sovereign. That's a real key one. You remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? How did Joseph respond when he, let's say, he was sold, he went from the parental home to the pit, to Potiphar's house. And what was his conduct in Potiphar's house? Good, bad, or indifferent? Good. It was really above reproach, wasn't it? And for doing good, he got thrown into prison. And how was his conduct in prison? Didn't he complain? Wouldn't you complain if you were unjustly thrown into prison? He didn't, did he? He didn't complain. And eventually he got to the palace. And how did he behave when he got there towards those who were unjust to him, unjust to him? How did he behave towards his brothers?
Gracious.
Yeah. Gracious, forgiving. Now, what concept of God enabled Joseph to respond that way? Okay, what concept of God? Let's nail this down to this one concept or two. Which one? If you were to pick one attribute of God that he was convinced of, what would it be? Sovereignty of God? That's the one I'd pick. He knew God was in control. And if you really believe that, you can go through these things. Let me share with you quickly, as our time is fleeting on. About a little over 6 years ago, God took my wife and I through a very difficult time. But prior to that, my daughter had gone through a hard time. She was a track star in high school. It was her year to take the state in the hurdles, and she pulled a hamstring and wasn't able to run the hurdles anymore. And that was very demolishing. But she got through that. And by the way, Lynn has a real heart to serve the Lord, and she just had grown up like that. And then she was going to go to South America, summer of her between her junior and senior year, and with a mission deal. And about 2 weeks before she was to go, she got headaches and got lumps here in her throat. She had mono. Have any of you ever had mono? You know what I'm talking about. You maybe know others who have. But that blew her trip to South America. And Dad was trying to encourage her and comfort her. And we found out one day, and the next day I took her in. And I guess it was that first day. Anyhow, I was out walking in the neighborhood and praying, and I just said, God, you know, I don't understand this. You know, why this? You know, here she wants to serve you and all, and this happened. And the verse of Scripture came to my mind, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it was almost as though it were just audible to me as I walked down the street. And it encouraged my heart, because I had a hard time understanding it. But that really encouraged my heart. So I thought, good. I'll share this with Lynn. I shared it with Lynn, and you don't understand, as the tears came rolling down. And she wasn't ready for that. But God did speak to her heart in her quiet time about a week later, maybe less than that, to her Lynn really understand that she was a clay and God was a potter, from Romans 9. And she says, I know that God has something for me through this. Well, a little over 6 years ago, By 11:20 at night, I had a knock at the door. Sunday night, is the coroner, and I knew what it was when he told me who he was. And he said two boys were killed in an auto accident north of town here, about 7:15. And he says, we have reason to believe that one of them is your son. But his body was so demolished, and a truck had run over him, and a car had drug him, and all the rest, that they couldn't identify him. But by clothing he had on and various other things, we knew it was Danny. The coroner left, and we went back to our bedroom. And the first thing we did was to thank God. Now, we weren't rejoicing and jumping up and down, but we were able to say, God, thank you. We know that you know what's best. We called Lynn, who was living on campus, and told her about it. And through the conversation, a couple of questions. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 came to my mind. And it was just so clear. You know, God's way was higher than our ways. God knew what was best. God was in control. Psalm 18:30, another verse that came to my mind, says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to those who trust in him. Now, why could my wife and I respond in that way? Well, we knew that God was in control. We knew that God was sovereign. We knew that he had our best interest at heart. We knew that he had Danny's best interest at heart. And you know, if you look back to Romans 5 a minute. He said here, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hope does not disappoint us. I had this was January the 11th, Thanksgiving of the year before. If you figure it up, it's about 6-7 weeks before. I was having my quiet time in 2 Corinthians 4. And do you ever go back over a passage where you have your quiet time and go back over it 2 or 3 days or 4 or 5 days in a row? You ever do that? When something's really meaningful to you, do that. And God will just give you more and more out of it. Well, that was the case with this passage. For some reason, and only God knew at the time, and I knew later, I went back over that verse for 3, 4, 5 days, probably 5 days in there. And I shared this with other people because it meant so much to me. Now, this was about 7 weeks before. This is the thing that stood out to me. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know. That's what Paul said back in Romans, wasn't it? We know. Here. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. And that was so real to me there through December. In fact, I was invited to speak in a church back in New York. And I spoke on this passage because it was so real to me. And little did I know that I spoke there in December, that 4 weeks later, that my son would be killed in an auto accident. And this hope would become so much more meaningful to me. Now, we went through a lot of other hard times before that one came. So God developed our lives and our character. And when that came, God developed us even more. And through those days, initial days in there, many a time, we were the ones encouraging others. Now that's grace. And I told you back here in Romans 5, Paul says the grace that is ours in Christ. See, that's grace. And you cannot rejoice and give thanks in a hard time in the flesh. You can't. But by God's grace, we can. So the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ enables us to do that. And the knowledge of God, that God is God of love, you can't separate these things. They all fit together. His wisdom in it, that he knew what was best. That actually comes out in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, doesn't it? He knows best. His ways are higher than our ways. His wisdom. But those are two things that really stood out to me. That God in his sovereignty and God in his wisdom was in control and knew what was best. And we could rejoice. I'd like for you to take a few minutes. You can help me hand these out here. I'm stuck up here with this wire. Here, pass this like that way. What I'd like for you to do is take just a few minutes on this, and then you can take it with you later and finish it. But I want you to do this so you get an idea of what I'm talking about. We really need an hour and a half for this workshop. I'm trying to condense it to halftime. But what belief about God will help develop purity of life? What belief about God? So write this, think through these, and you're going to write answers in for them. I'd like to take some time to discuss them, but I don't think we'll really have that much time. I want to give you some closing thoughts here. But what I want to do is stimulate your mind a little bit on this, with these questions. And then I'm going to decide what to leave out. Write down Isaiah 6, 1 through 5 on that first one there. I want to take about a minute and a half or 2 minutes here for any questions that you might have on what I've covered. Yes?
If character development comes from suffering, you as a person who's discipling someone else cannot make them suffer from God. What can you do to
Well, I think basically two things. One is you can help them to develop a concept of God, like you say, through Bible study, getting them into the scriptures to do, that's what I do in this class that I teach. I had them do a study, about a 4 to 6 hour study on a topic like the holiness of God. And in their doing that, they relate it to their lives. Now that's the knowledge. That's head knowledge. Heart knowledge will come as we relate it to our lives and as we go through different situations. Then I think the other thing you can do is you can talk to God about it. If you see pride in a person's life and you want to see humility, just pray that God will bring conviction there. And if need be, hard times to get that person's attention to where they realize it. And through that, grow in that the spirit of humility. If you see sin in a person's life, that they just don't seem to think much of it. Do a study on the justice of God and the holiness of God. Any other questions? Romans 12 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer or present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. The next verse says, do not conform, or as Phillips' translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Be transformed. Your life take on different character. See? How? By the renewing of your mind. That is key. That we grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in our understanding of who God is. Our concept of God. And then when the hard times come or the different opportunities come, God, what do you want me to learn through this? Disappointments will come. And just closing thought, don't skirt around the hard times. It's easy to do that. To avoid them. Or ignore them as though they're not there. See, the hard times that we went through after Danny's death, we could have ignored those. You know, but they were there. We acknowledged them. And ask God to use those times to develop your life. Likeness of Christ, the character of Christ in your life. You see, become a man or woman of God that He can use for His highest purposes. So, God, what do you want me to learn through this time, this hard times? And develop your concept of God. Get to know Him. And as you do that, as you study these things about God, then the question, how does this knowledge affect my life or how I should live? That is key. How should this knowledge of God affect how I live? Any last questions? You do have lunch at 12:30, don't you?
One.
At 1?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, am I supposed to wrap this up at 12:30? Understood.
We can go to 12:45, I think. Because I think lunch is ready at 1, isn't it?
I want you to be able to beat the greedy people down there to the lunch line.